From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Victor Beatty reporting. British voters are heading to the polls for what has been called the most important vote of their lifetimes, whether the United Kingdom should remain in or leave the European Union. Wednesday was the last day of campaigning. Prime Minister David Cameron urged voters to cast ballots to stay.
We are stronger, we are better off, we are safer in a reformed European Union. And that is why we should vote remain tomorrow morning in the largest possible numbers.
Conservative politician and Justice Secretary Michael Gove is among the leading advocates for leaving the European bloc.
I respect people on both sides of the argument, and I think it's good that we hear from the heart from politicians and others who want us to remain and who want us to leave. But ultimately, people will have a chance tomorrow to take back control of our democracy, and I think that is a very, very powerful argument.
Polls ahead of Thursday's referendum showed either a slight advantage for the Leave or Remain campaign, although there were still many undecided voters. Election analysts say turnout will be crucial for both sides. Gunmen in southern Nigeria kidnapped at least 7 people, including 4 Australians and a New Zealander, identified as contractors for a mining and engineering company on the outskirts of the city Calabar in Cross River State. Their driver was killed. Malcolm Turnbull is Australia's Prime Minister.
The Australian High Commissioner is on the scene, and we are working with the authorities, the local authorities at the highest levels.
Mr. Turnbull said the identity of the kidnappers is unknown. He described the incident as a very serious criminal assault. The kidnappers have not yet contacted police. Abductions for ransom have been a long-standing problem in the region, where much of Nigeria's oil wealth is located. This is VOA News. In Iraq, government coalition forces pressed their 5-week offensive on retaking the Islamic State-held city of Fallujah. The French press agency said IS defenders have been pushed back to their last redoubts. Brigadier Haider al-Obeidi says nearly 90% of the city has been liberated. He says he hopes the advance will be completed within days. More than 80,000 civilians have fled the fighting, with over 60,000 said to be in overwhelmed displacement camps that lack basic supplies. Meanwhile, the U.S. said it will host a pledging conference next month to raise hundreds of millions of dollars to help Iraqis return to normal life. Colombia and the leftist FARC rebels agreed to a ceasefire Wednesday, with a signing ceremony scheduled later Thursday to end hostilities in a 50-year-long guerrilla war that killed some 220,000 and displaced millions. Peter Hockum is a Latin American scholar with the Washington-based Inter-American Dialogue.
Not only has it been the longest war, it's probably cost the most lives of any war on the mainland of Latin America. And, you know, it's caused Colombia to be among the countries in the entire world which have the largest displaced population.
President Juan Manuel Santos and rebel leader Rodrigo Lodano will sign the ceasefire in Havana, where peace talks have been held for years. Mr. Santos says he expects final negotiations to be complete by July 20. The deal, including land reform and demobilization, will then be put to the Colombian people in a referendum. Senior U.S. diplomat Thomas Shannon met Wednesday in Caracas with Venezuela's President Nicolas Maduro on ways to improve relations. The countries have not exchanged ambassadors since 2010, amid sharp disagreement over the country's socialist policies. Mr. Maduro, a sharp U.S. critic, called on Shannon to tell President Obama to rectify U.S. policy toward his country. Shannon, for his part, pressed for the release of political prisoners. He also met members of the opposition who are trying to form a recall motion to remove Mr. Maduro from office. Zambia's largest privately owned newspaper has been shuttered by the government over unpaid taxes, but the owner says the paper, a frequent critic of the government, has been closed in a political move ahead of August's election. More pre-election street protests in townships around South Africa's capital have left at least 2 dead, dozens arrested, shops were looted, vehicles torched. The violence believed to be tied to the selection of the ruling African National Congress's candidate for mayor of Pretoria. The International Monetary Fund has trimmed the forecast for U.S. economic growth this year to 2.2%. IMF Managing Director Christine Lagarde sees falling productivity, declining labor force participation, poverty and income inequality as the main factors. I'm Victor Beatty, VOA News.
That's the latest world news from VOA.